Live the Dream by Josephine Cox. Read by Carol Boyd. For a long, regretful moment, he leaned against the back wall, his tall, strong figure merging into the shadows, his heart aching, his dark gaze intent on the house. It was such a beautiful house, he thought, so warm and inviting, like she used to be. The woman inside. She was still beautiful, a slender woman with exquisite features, dark, sultry eyes and chestnut-coloured hair flowing to her waist. But that was all. She neither loved nor wanted him. He felt such deep regret, his heart ached. He had loved this fine house since that first day 7 years ago, when he had carried his wife through the wide oaken doors, laughing and happy. And oh, how he had adored her. But that was then. Now it was February 1932, and all he had left were memories. With a deep sigh, he made his way across the delightful garden with its pretty meandering paths and multitude of shrubs and trees. Sometimes, when her illness became too much for him, he would come out here and walk until his spirit was refreshed. That he would go back inside, ready to deal with whatever came his way. But today was Tuesday, and Tuesdays were very special, for he was free to do what he wanted. Tuesday was his day, his sanctuary. He quickened his steps, making his way through the gardens and out of the side gate. From the bedroom window, she watched him leave. She heard the engine swell as the car drove away, and through the beech trees that lined the road, caught a glimpse of the long black saloon as it went from the house. Startling her, a voice from the door called her name. "Sylvia! I've been looking for you everywhere!" With a smile, she turned. "It's such a lovely day, don't you think, Edna?" But the smile was forced, because now he was gone, and already she was lonely. She often felt alone now, detached from her husband, from her sister, from dear Edna. No one came to visit, too scared of her moods. The medication helped, but sometimes the anger was preferable to the dulling effect of the drugs, and so she would hide the medicine and only pretend to take it. The further Luke got from the house, the more he felt a great weight being lifted from his shoulders. The frowns eased. And his face softened, his dark eyes began to twinkle, and his whole body relaxed. It was Tuesday, and a sense of freedom flooded his soul as he began to enjoy his precious day off. He liked the open sky after the neat residential street in Blackburn, and the noise and sootiness of the factory. Heading towards the Fells and the Ribble Valley was a special pleasure, every familiar curve and landmark a comfort to him. The lanes became narrower and more meandering, until he was bumping along a rough track that carried him deep into the woods beyond the burden of his duty and responsibility. Almost an hour after leaving the house, he arrived at his destination, where thick woodland hid him from the world. The stream glittered in the morning light, and look, there! Excited, he inched forward to see two small deer drinking at the water's edge. This was what he needed. The magic his soul craved. He made his way to the log cabin built by his own hand over two long, wonderful years. The land had been owned by his family for generations, and he had spent happy childhood holidays here. Impatiently, he threw back the wooden shutters, then struck a match against the stone wall surrounding the fireplace and set light to the pyramid of paper and wood in the grate. Soon the fire was cheerily blazing, warming the whole cabin. He felt a sense of pride in his achievement. The place was strong, built to last. If he got hungry, there was a supply of tinned food in the larder and tidbits to be gathered in the woods. Running wild in those idyllic childhood holidays had been excellent training for cabin life. Now, with the fire crackling, he went to the wardrobe and took out the covered canvas and easel, his thoughts going to a cosy little cafe in the centre of Blackburn, another part of his secret.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?